Let's clap our hands for the Lord, right? Wow. The last Sunday, 2015. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done, Lord. You are our shepherd. You are faithful. So God be the glory. Amen. Amen. God is good. Let's be seated. Thank you so much. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness for us. Lord, it's all about you, not about us, not anyone else. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord God, for what has transpired in 2015. And we are excited for what is ahead for us as a church, 2016, because you are our shepherd. You will lead us on, Lord. And we bless you today, Father God. We dedicate this time to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And everybody says, amen. 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 When I was in prayer, I said, Lord, okay, this is the last Sunday of the year. What would you like your people to hear? And we have journeyed with the elders in this church and spending time in prayer and asking the good Lord for his guidance. And we have tremendous times when we were in the planning trying to listen to the Holy Spirit in what would the Lord want us to endeavor as a church, and just positioning our hearts to what he wants. So when I was in this posture of asking the Lord, what would you like your people to hear? The Lord just dropped in my spirit, be all that God wants you to be. As a parent, that's exactly what I want my kids to be. Be all that what God wants you to be. We could coach them, we could encourage them, we could guide them, counsel them with the wisdom that the Lord has given us, and we'd like to see them in that place where the Lord is using them mightily. That's number one. And also making something out of themselves in this world that people would be blessed. So the title that we have today is Be All That God Wants You to Be. So reflecting back, we have in 2015, we have topical series on celebrating Christ. Number two, we have topical series on spiritual growth. We have topical series on the Holy Spirit, experiencing the beauty of grace, number four. Number five, we have relevant Christianity. Number six, the last days, spiritual disciplines, and season of Advent. And I tell you, we have spent so much time on our knees whenever we're in the series and, you know, asking the good Lord, Lord, feed the lambs. We are nothing without you. It's all about you. So we, in our hearts as elders of the church, are in that place of thanksgiving, that we know that the word of the Lord shall not return void. Amen? Isaiah 55, 11 and 12, seal is my word, it shall not return to me empty or void, but will accomplish my desire and achieve the purpose by which I sent it. So the word has been sown in your spirits, and it's up to you, to me, to allow the word of God to just grow in my spirit and grow in my life. Amen? So John 10:10 actually says here, the thief comes not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen? Be all that what God wants you to be. This has been accomplished through Christ Jesus our Lord. He came, and because of his sacrifice, and because of the Holy Ghost is dwelling in each and every one of us, this life, abundant life, is ours through him. This has been accomplished. Amen? So this brings us to that fact that we are made in this image. You know, as I'm growing older and seeing more white hairs coming off my head and looking at my son, I will be saying, hey, Caleb is turning out to be looking like me. So just the same in the spiritual realm, as we journey with God, as we grow old in our faith, we are reflecting him. Amen? Genesis 26, 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are created in the image of God. And that word image there actually is the phantom. We are like the phantom of God. If we have twins, when I would see a twin, I would say, oh, that's James. No, it's John. No, it's James. It's John. Because they're a phantom. So in like manner, we are made in the image of God. We are the phantoms of God. We are such a wonderful, wonderful privilege of being the image of God. But of course, the story is that we have lost this image. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The doxa of God. Or the kabud in Hebrew of God. All of us. But that has been reinstated through Christ Jesus. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. So the more we become like His Son, the doxa, the kabud of God again manifests itself. That I would be saying, hey Les, that's not you, that's Jesus in you. And we have this term that we have thrown over here in this pulpit, sudsuupoeo. It's a big Greek word, sudsuupoeo. And that means we're made alive together with Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul would be saying, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ. Say it again. Christ who lives in me. He lives in you. Sutsuupoeo. He is inside of you. You are not on your own anymore. You are bought with a price. You don't belong to you. You belong to God. And the image of Christ is coming out. Okay? So Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Okay? God is our shield, not just Abram, but God became our shield and our exceedingly great reward. Why is that? Because we are becoming like Him. Genesis 1, 26, 27, we're becoming an increasingly like Him. He is our exceedingly great reward. To look like Him is our exceedingly great reward. For Caleb to look like me, that is his exceedingly great reward. Amen? And so in the spirit, it's the same. It's the same token. And we have our story in the scriptures. Our story is in the scriptures. Brothers, it's not something that you just read. No, it's about us and our journey, our faith journey. You and me, and all those that would be one with Him. Okay? So our story is in Scripture. And the Lord brought me to Luke 15. It says here, if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Luke 15. It says there, then He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So this is the same story as we have, brothers and sisters. Don't detach yourself from the journey. We have all sinned before the Father. We are in a far way. We have wasted many, many of our lives in sin. And He said, I am no longer to be your son, but make me one of your servants. And there's two things here. Two things here, brothers and sisters. Being a son and being a servant. The son is higher than the servant. A servant wants to perform. There's a lot of performers in the body of Christ. And they don't value that sonship more than being a servant. We are not performance-based. Oh, it's Sunday again. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to comb my hair. I'm going to put perfume and go to church. And yet not having that son, that awareness of sonship. You are going to the Father. I am going to the Father, and I want to present myself not just externally, but internally. I need to be prepared to meet my Father. Amen? And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. What was he rehearsing? He was saying, I'm not worthy to become your son. Make me now one of your servants. But the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, stop it there. The Holy Ghost intentionally stopped it there. Because what God wants from each and every one of us is to be his son, his daughter. That's what he wants. So the Spirit of the living God stopped the son there. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. This would be the heart of our talk this morning, brothers and sisters. This would be the heart of our talk this morning. First is the best robe. And it says here, so we have the best robe, a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. For the best robe, it says here in Genesis, there's a problem for each and every one of us, right? We have inherited a problem. In Genesis 3, 6 to 11, it says there, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, he took some and ate it. He also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. By the way, don't blame the woman. The man was there too. He was with her. Okay? He was participating on this. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the gardens. But the Lord God called unto man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? All of us that have sinned against God basically have lost the doxa of God, the glory of God, the kabod of God, and we became naked. So this is a crisis for each and every one of us. In Galatians, in the book of Galatians, Galatians 3, 26. If you have your Bibles, you could turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. This is now what the Lord has accomplished for us. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28. And it says there, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. God has solved our nakedness by clothing us with Christ. Amen? There is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God has not left us as in our nakedness. God has clothed us with the most beautiful robe there is, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and God made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We became the righteousness of God through Him. That's a wonderful robe, brothers and sisters. That's a very, very wonderful robe for each and every one of us. I wish we could look at one another that way, that we are wearing that robe. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That's powerful. All the fullness of who God is, the deity, lives in Christ in bodily form. And in verse number 10, it says there, and you have been given. This is not because of what you have done or what I have done. No, He, just like what the Father said, give Him. We have been given that wonderful robe. And you have been given the fullness of Christ, who is head of every power and authority. It is not... The source of the robe is not us. The source of the robe is the Father, given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Powerful, isn't it? For each and every one of us. What a wonderful robe. And there's a lot of people that they would be standing one of these days in the presence of God Almighty in all His perfection and beauty. And they would say, I'm good enough. But not knowing that they're naked. They don't have that clothing of Jesus Christ in them. The person of Jesus Christ in them. And so that boldness that they have, the credential that we'll be saying, I am a good man. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't do this. It's all about them not knowing in tragedy that they could not exist in the presence of God Almighty with all His perfection. So if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are clothed with Him. I am clothed with Him. And that is your confidence in existing in the presence of God Almighty. Amen? Let's clap our hands. That was, I think, thank you, Jesus. You are my robe, Lord. You are my robe. I become one with You, and You become one with me. The best robe. Give Him the best robe. Amen? Second part over here says, a ring on His hand. Put a ring in His hand. That's the second thing. I've been wearing this ring for almost 23 years now. It's a seal. It's a mark that I belong to the most beautiful woman in Rojas City. Amen. It's a seal. It's a mark. Okay? And for each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, there is a seal that has been given us by the Lord God Almighty. And that seal is no one else but the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1, 11, 12, it says, and you have been sealed with a promise, with a mark. The promise, Holy Spirit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the day of your redemption. Because the day of redemption is coming. We don't know when it's happening. It could happen today. But if you have that seal, you have that ring, you have that mark, the Holy Spirit, as you have believed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He comes and seals you, not just for a temporal purpose, but for all eternity. Aptarsia, endless existence with God Almighty. Could you imagine that after 10 years? I mean, after 10,000 years, and another 10,000 years, and another 20,000 years, on top of a million years on top of that. 1 John 3, 2 says, and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What is He like? He's not growing old. He's not feeble. He's strong. And you and I will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So what is ahead of you and what is ahead of me is so glorious. Amen. Because of the seal that the Lord has given you. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never, and we've heard this before, never is ume. And ume is a double negative word. So you appropriately translate that, I will never, never leave you. I will never, never forsake you. You are secure in the hands of God Almighty once He has sealed you. Some people will be saying, oh, okay, I'll seal you with my marriage. You know, I'm committed to you. And when problem comes, okay, And I was so surprised with one of my coworkers. You know, she was so stable, and her, you know, and that relationship is so stable. And all of a sudden, boom, they're in the court. They're fighting over, you know, separating and all this. But our seal, the ring, put a ring, put a mark. Once, God is not bigay bawe. God, when He gives you His ring, when He gives you His seal, it's for all eternity. Wow. Could you imagine the feeling of the Son that came back to the Father? When the seal that He taught, I'm not worthy to become your son anymore. Make me one. Could you imagine that emotion when the Father said, put a ring on Him. He belongs to me. He is mine. So with each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, you belong to Him. Amen. And He belongs to us. The third thing over here that came out is put sandals on His feet. Wow. You know, because he had Galatians 5. Let's go there. Galatians 5. If you have your Bibles, Galatians 5, 16, 18. And it says here, so I say, live by the Spirit. So you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law or not under condemnation. You see, what happened was, when he asked for his inheritance, he had a different shoes. The shoes of disobedience. The shoes are saturated by me, mine, you know, and all this focus on self. John 6:63 says, what? The flesh comes for nothing. The Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. Okay? And he was operating that on the flesh. That was his shoes, the shoes of disobedience. And that was the problem also. But now, the Father has given him a new sandals. In other words, it's a new journey, brothers and sisters. It is not the same old, selfish, self-serving, sinful, wicked journey. The new journey now is the journey of obedience, of a son. Galatians 2:20 says here, what? I have been crucified. It is no longer. Oh, if only this, brothers and sisters, would sink in our spirit, would sink in my spirit, that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It is no longer you. It's no longer me. It's all about Him. Amen. This is the new sandals. This is the new shoes that we are wearing. Some people, they would have their, okay, sandals. It's Sunday. Let me put on the Sunday sandal. But when Monday comes and all this, they have another sandal. Burn the other sandal. Get rid of it. For if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. Kainos anthropos. We are new creations in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's. He made us new creations, not because of our efforts, but because of His mercy for us. This is who we are in this world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We don't walk the way of the world. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Okay, let me start with verse number 3. It's more appropriate. Praise be to the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This is our calling. This is the new sandals, brothers and sisters. Amen? To be blameless and holy in his sight, in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we were also we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to put into effect when the times will have reached their fruitful fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. This is the new sandal. Not just in this world, but even in the heavenlies, that he has called us forth in this new journey. So the saying in Texas is true. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come for us in all eternity. Amen? Some people, they have their mind over here. They think, oh, you know, I'm not tagging any race, okay? But he was Korean, and his business just collapsed. You know, he had a very powerful business, you know, making a lot of money, you know, a lot of money in the bank. And all of a sudden, his company collapsed. And you know what he did? Boom. He just killed himself. Because the journey is, the sandal that he has is just here. Now, this is something very important also. The sandal that we are wearing is not just a physical sandal, performance. We have a spiritual sandal. We have a spiritual journey, each and every one of us. And the next would be saying, in verse number 28 of our text, in Luke 15, which would be the next slide, is, it says here, but he, the older brother, was angry. Remember, they were marrying and they were, you know, the son has come and there's a calf that has been killed and all of this. And the older brother, the older brother, was angry and would not go in the house. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. It is the father who owns everything, pleaded with this older brother. So he answered and said to the father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. See, serving. His focus is serving, not the sonship. I never transgressed your commandments at any time. Credentials of performance. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fattened calf for him. Even though, I would like to speak particularly with the young ones over here. Okay? Even though you are inside the house, walking and serving and all of that, most likelihood, even inside the church, you are not walking in with a new sandals. You are not walking in the spirit of the Father. Because there's also a walking in the spirit of the Father. Could you imagine the son, the elder son, being exposed to how the Father is loving and merciful to the other servants and so on and so forth. And yet, the older son has not catch this. Could you see where I'm going in this? You could have all this exposure of information, you know, of scriptures and what have you, but you are not walking inside of you in the spirit of what you're hearing. Therefore, what you are hearing becomes null. You need to pick up walking also in the dictates of the Spirit. That is very important. That would make your distinction between the distinction between you and those people that are out of the household, the unbelievers, is when you walk in the Spirit of the Father. You could be rubbing shoulders with the Father, but not have His Spirit in you. Am I making sense? Amen? I'm making sense. Thank you, Jesus. So, the topics that we have in 2015, it says here, celebrating Christ, spiritual growth, the Holy Spirit, experiencing the beauty of grace, relevant Christianity, the last day, spiritual discipline, season of Advent, and any other messages that you will that you will be reading, somebody will be sharing to you. Be sure that the Spirit of the Father who operates these words, you cooperate with Him as well, that you may be able to walk His way. So that when the appropriate time comes for you to exercise your Christianity is not just a word. Your Christianity is life. And that would put you different from who the world is. In other words, walk with your God. Walk with your Father. That is the difference between religion and a relationship. If you have a true relationship with the Lord, then it comes out. I'm not angry, I'm just preaching. Now Luke 15, our life story in Scripture continues. In verse number 23, it says there, "And bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." You know, the joy of the Father when He saw His Son. You know, you can't help but be generous. You know, boy, this son of mine that was lost, you know, is back in my, this is so precious. You know, I'm going to kill not just a calf, but, you know, 10 calves. In Filipino context, lechon. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Wow. Wow. The Father is so happy when you are with Him, when you're back to Him. Now, we focus on what the Father has given the Son. And the benefit of coming back to the fold of the household of God. But it's also merited for us to look at how the Father had His heart ready for the Son. And it says in verse number 20, "And he arose and came to his father." This is the prodigal. He arose and came to his father. "But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kiss him." You know, this happened to each and every one of us. When the Father saw us coming back to Him, He was so excited, besides the calf and the celebration and all that, but the posture of His heart, when He was still a great way off, the Father saw Him and had compassion. He had compassion on us. And the Father ran and fell on the prodigal's neck and kiss him. That is how precious each and every one of us are in the sight of God Almighty. So meaning to say, lest the Father saw you and he ran towards you and embrace you and kiss you. So we could apply that individually to our story, because this is our story in Scripture. This is our story in Scripture. Isaiah 59:2. Your sin has hidden His face from God. Your iniquities have separated us from Him. But He has drawn us near to Himself. So each and every one of us, He has ran towards us and had compassion on us and fell on our neck and kissed us. And in context over here, of course, we know that the prodigal smelled like pigs. Bringing it to us, we smelled. Our sin smells like, made us smell like pigs. But He ran and embraced us and did all these things. What a loving Father. What a loving position of being a Christian in this world for the Lord. Being a son and a daughter for Him, for His glory in this world. Amen? Wow. That's why going back to Genesis 15:1, it says there, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. The Father's love for you, the Father's love for me is my shield. He is my shield. Don't touch my family. I would say to Satan, don't touch my family. I love my family. That love is their shield. If a woman would be saying, Pastor Elvin, you're so poggy. I want you. I want to sit with you. I want to be with you. My love for the most beautiful Tess Fortune is her shield. So God the Father, His love for us is our shield. And He says, and your exceedingly great reward. Wow. Be all that God wants you to be. You have the robe, you have the ring, you have the sandals. Amen. And this captures also the song over here that you know, I will not sing it, but when I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up, Lord, so I can stand on mountain. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. That's our story. That is how God, the Father of all things, in all of His glory and might, has come to each and every one of us. He's such a powerful, glorious Lord, leaving the splendor of heaven just to bring us in that relationship with Him again. As we enter 2016, it is our prayer that you value that relationship with God. That you would be, and I would be, all that which God wants us to be. Amen.